It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show.
928-854-5687. That's 854-5687.
Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
All right, thank you very much, Kid Rock. Monday, August 30th, 2021. Brother Jim Russell in the house.
Yes, good day to you.
Good day to you, too. And I'm Paul Lavoie. Welcome to Speak Out, everybody. Got a great show today. We've got two guests, one on the phone from Maricopa County, and, of course, John Pat coming into the studio. If you don't recognize that name, he is a distiller deluxe.
Oh.
Desert Diamond Distillery in Kingman.
That's the winery?
No, it's the rum.
Oh, my.
And yeah,
oh.
I think he does. I think he may do vodka. Wow. I don't know. We'll have to. I've been there
Learn
for
more
his.
About that.
Have you ever heard of a barrel cracking?
No.
They have a barrel that's been sitting for years.
Uh-huh.
You know,
aging,
yeah, if you will, in those oak barrels. And then when they tap the barrel, they have a big dinner party, and everybody at the party gets a sample.
Oh, very cool.
It is very cool.
Do you think he'll bring samples?
That I don't know. And I won't tell if we sample on the air either. Yeah. All right, on the sports station, before we get to our first interview, Doug Hodges with the Common Sense Show. This should be pretty interesting, mm-hmm. Looking at the Maricopa County audit results that haven't come in yet. We were hoping they'd be in by the time Doug was on the show. But anyway, Arizona Diamondbacks at Pittsburgh. Let's see. This is the wrong one. Arizona Diamondbacks versus the Padres. They're hosting the Padres tonight, 6:40 p.m. Got a whole bunch of sports this week. The Amateurs is on Wednesday, 9 a.m., hosted by our what do you call Steve? The Jefe?
The main Jefe
at Radio Central. That's right, hosted by Steve Greeley at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, or on Saturday, on Wednesday morning.
One of those days.
Man, it has been a morning, as it usually is towards the end of the month here. And I'll bring on our first guest now. Doug, are you still there?
Yeah, it's Dave.
I'm sorry, Dave. Dave Hodges, of course. And I don't know why I wrote Doug on my notes, but there, it's corrected. Dave Hodges, the Common Sense Show. No conspiracy there with the first name, let me tell you. But what is going on the ground right now in Maricopa County? People are waiting with bated breath on just the preliminary report for the Maricopa County audit. What do you know why the delay right now, Dave?
Well, they say the delay is due to COVID, but that's an artificial delay compared to the big delay. And the big delay is that Attorney General Brnovich has given the county 30 days to comply with two court orders and two state Senate subpoenas to surrender key evidence. The report is basically worthless without that evidence. And I'll be happy to walk you through what's not going to be in the report, because the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors has something to hide.
Now, Jim can verify in my cell phone, it says Dave Hodges,
it
right?
It does. Yes.
Okay, I just wrote it down wrong, so my apologies on that, Dave. I guess we start from the beginning, which would be the election back in November of last year, which we're coming up on now, almost one year ago, as time flies. What prompted this whole process, if you will? Was it just the state of the Commonwealth of Maricopa? was it the Commonwealth going blue? Is that what prompted it? People didn't believe the results. What happened, Dave?
Well, the results are phony from the beginning, and there's so many ways we can look at it and see it's phony. But there should, you know, our pre-air discussion, you said that the delays are killing the excitement and removing public interest, and I agree with that. But you see, the state Senate wanted to have the audit in December, but Doug Ducey, who in my mind is in on the conspiracy for a lot of different reasons,
right?
Doug Ducey refused to let the state legislature come in and have a special session. He said, you can meet at your regular time, which was 1 week after the certification vote, and they weren't allowed to come back until January the 13th. And then the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors refused to comply with court-ordered subpoenas to release the routers, to release the chain of custody of the ballots, to release the release of ballots that are duplicate ballots but don't contain the state-required original ballot attached to it. That right there turns the election in favor of Donald Trump. My informal count from talking to three election officials off the record, we're at 20,000 ballots that went for Biden that were duplicates that don't have the attached original. That changes the election right there. But Doug Ducey found it enough to delay till after certification vote. That's significant. And then the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors dragged their feet, and pretty soon we're into May until they say, well, let's get the audit started anyway, even though the supervisors aren't cooperating. But here's what you don't have. You don't have the routers, and you have all the accusations, and they are accusations at this point that the Dominion voting machines were compromised on purpose and that votes were counted by Dominion in China. And we would know all that if we had the routers. But the excuse that the supervisors use for not allowing the routers to be used in terms of evidence and withholding it is, oh, we have other police information on there. We have other cases. Identities would be compromised. So what they're asking the public to believe is unbelievable, that in a general election in a county of 4.5 million people, they use secondhand routers. That's not even a believable story.
Well, the first,
let me just finish this one
okay,
point
go ahead.
Because I came out with that story on May the 12th, and I had enough information from the inside then to know that there was funny business going on, and I printed this, and it triggered a backlash against me from people on the periphery of the audit and inside the audit to contact a dozen of my colleagues and say, don't listen to Dave Hodges. What? I'm one person, one website, a private citizen. I didn't have a non-disclosure agreement, and they're accusing me of ruining the audit. And I'm specifically me, people inside the audit. And that's because I was hitting home run after home run. I'll give you one more thing,
okay,
and I'll turn it over to you for questions. The election codes have not been surrendered. And see, that was something that was required by the election officials on the floor so they could control the machines and track what the machines were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they never had the codes, and I've been told that by three of these officials. And I said in an article, the county can't surrender what it is they don't have. And that's what also triggered a backlash against me. And I published this, and then they came out with this press conference 3 days later and trotted out Paul Penzone, and he said, oh, they gave the codes to me for safekeeping. He's not even part of the election hierarchy. He'd have no business having the codes, and even if he did have the election codes, he is required to surrender them to the court because they were under court-ordered subpoena to be released. So this whole thing stinks to high heaven. We have top officials in this state conspiring to steal an election. That's what it comes down to.
So I want to put some questions out to our listening audience. 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. That's the Speak Out talk line. And you can talk to Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show. I want to give out the website, too, commonsenseshow.com, where you can...
Yeah, Paul, you got to put the in front of it, the commonsenseshow.com.
I'm sorry?
You got to put the in front of it, thecommonsenseshow.com.
Thecommonsenseshow.com. There you go. I stand corrected again. So anyway, thecommonsenseshow.com, and give us a call at 928-854-5687 if you have any questions. Are you getting cooperation, or is anybody, what about Ken Bennett in all this? I'm told he's the trustworthy one that is the liaison for the election audit.
Ken Bennett has never leaked any information to me. That rumor is out there, and I want to dispel that. Ken Bennett was fired from the audit team for disclosing information. And here's the interesting thing. He would consider to be the number two man in the chain of command under Karen Fan. And yet the number two man saw fit to leak information to unknown sources at this time, and he got caught and was banned from going on the floor of the audit.
Sure.
If the audit was on the up and up, which I do not believe under Karen Fan it is, but if the audit was on the up and up, why would the number two guy find the need to leak information? It's not on the up and up. In fact, I'm going to address Karen Fan here. Karen Fan said very early on in the process, no matter what we find, we're not going to decertify the election. We are going to make sure it doesn't happen again. Wait a minute. You're spending $8 million of taxpayer money, mm-hmm. and you find a crime, and you're not going to correct the crime? That's like you breaking into my house, stealing my jewels. You get caught and convicted. But while you're in prison, your family gets to keep my jewelry. I mean, this is nonsense. And I think Karen Fan's part of the fix. Otherwise, she would not have had that position. She predetermined the outcome before the investigation even began.
Right. You said that before the show when we were talking off the air, that Karen Fan has no motivation to overturn the election. Is that right?
Well, she said in her words, and I quote, we are not going to decertify the election. We're not looking to do that. We're going to make sure this doesn't happen in 2022. That's not good enough. If you find evidence of a crime, you decertify the election. And by the way, her compadre in the Senate, Wendy Rogers, who I just interviewed, State Senator Wendy Rogers, mm-hmm. has a petition to decertify the election because she knows a lot of the things that I know.
But don't you think, Dave, that could be just posturing by Karen Fan? Because if there's going to be any move to decertify the election, wouldn't that be up to the Attorney General?
No. No. She should not have predetermined the election, the audit of the election.
The audit,
she
yeah.
predetermined by saying, we don't care what we find, we're not going to do anything, okay, about this past election. That's predetermining the outcome. That's unacceptable. That's a phony investigation at that point. I'm going to tell you another thing that happened. A public meeting with Liz Harris, who everybody knows. Liz Harris said at a Tea Party meeting on July 21st, in which I was in attendance, and she admonished the crowd to call Karen Fan's office to be a little more diligent. And here's what she meant. Mark Fincham was really upset because allegedly there were supposed to be 20 items on the second subpoena, and Karen Fan lowballed it down to 4 items. That had Liz Harris upset. That had Mark Fincham upset. This was publicly disclosed. I do not trust Karen Fan's leadership in this matter. Not from what I found.
Do you think she will suffer in the next legislative session and possibly be taken out as president of the Senate?
No. No, I think the people who really want the truth to come out are in the minority. I've talked to other legislators who do not want me to use their name. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of repercussions because they feel they're in the minority. So no. No, here's the bottom line. We have a corrupt election system in Maricopa County. We've had it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is many of these politicians are benefiting from a corrupt system. They keep getting reelected. Why change it?
So Stephen Richer, the new Maricopa County recorder, and you say Richer, I've heard Richer, so I've heard both pronunciations. He wants to make the office boring again, yet he comes out and just about publicizes every step of the process here from the other side, if you will, the antagonist to the audit. What's his role here? What's going on?
The thing is, I don't really understand why Richer's doing what he's doing. But he said the most ridiculous thing I ever had. When they had the press conference with the Maricopa supervisors and Paul Pinzone about the failure to surrender the election codes,
right.
He came out in support of them. And his one line that'll live in infamy said, hey, I'm a Republican and I got elected. In other words, because I got elected, we shouldn't even look at voter fraud with Donald Trump or anybody else. Most ridiculous thing I ever heard a public official say. The one thing he did do, though, he contributed to my knowledge base on the fact there was a conspiracy in this election. There was a voter breach that took place in the fall of 2020 mm-hmm. where registration vote information was taken online from a hack. And this was under Adrian Fontes, the previous county clerk and recorder.
Right.
He never disclosed this to the public. That's, first of all, a violation of law. Reischer corrected that at the end of January. And to his credit, he wrote a public letter that acknowledged it. Then he went on to say, oh, but nothing damaging was released. Well, that's a bunch of crap, because those voter registration files are less than one page and contain everything about the voter, including the last time they voted. And it's my contention, and I've heard Sonny Borelli talk about this on YouTube, that it's, I think it's his contention too, that when you have those duplicate ballots without the required attached original, where did they get the names to put on those ballots? I contend they got them from the hacked voter registration files. And that's not even been made an issue in the audit. Yet there's acknowledgement that there was a hack that took place. Those duplicate ballots, they had to get those names from somewhere. and here's the thing that no one's addressing, and Karen Fann's not addressing this, and it's negligent. If you have a duplicate ballot, state law says you must have a required permanently attached to it. And I know for a fact that they have thousands of ballots that don't meet that requirement, and those votes should be disallowed. And that's not, they're not acting on that, and that bothers me.
Here's something interesting that I think we talked about, not sure though, but Sonny Borelli was on the show a couple of months ago, and or about a month and a half ago, and during the show he checked the Maricopa County Audit Twitter account. It had been suspended during this show. Did I tell you that already?
No, but I know that's true.
Yeah.
He's right.
Can you believe, but it was during this show. We were on the air talking about the audit, where we're at with it, and where you're at with it in Maricopa County. And then the account was suspended, and I immediately put it up on Facebook, which they published. It hasn't been, you know, it's common knowledge now that it was suspended.
Yeah. You know, the Wall Street Journal had an interesting quote the other day, and this was about the vaccines, but it applies to the elections too. They said, "The truth is no defense against misinformation." That's a quote in the Wall Street Journal from last week. And the same thing applies to the election audit. If you say anything that flies in the convention of the prevailing establishment,
right,
you are going to be censored, and there's the proof.
That's very true. Dave, let's go ahead, and we're going to take a short break. Jim Russell's here as well, because it is Monday,
yes,
the co-host with the most. And I'm Paul Lavoie, and we'll come back with Dave Hodges in a moment from The Common Sense Show. Stay tuned. John Pack is going to be in the studio with Desert Diamond Distillery. I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
If you don't like me, brother, that's okay. I ain't gonna let it wreck my day. I keep styling, smiling, handing out.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Brother Jim Russell. Speak Out brought to you in part by, you're awfully quiet today, by the way.
Yes.
Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Mojave Mortgage, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Horizon Community Bank, and our newest sponsor, Thane O'Brien was Spot On, a company that helps with credit card transactions for any size business. Call Thane 928-706-2784. Or send an email to tobryan@spoton.com. That's tobryan with an E at spoton.com. All right, we're back with Dave Hodges, host of The Common Sense Show, thecommonsenseshow.com. Got it right that time, didn't
you? Yes, you did.
Did you want to thank the sponsors, Jim?
Well, you're kind of late, but those are great sponsors. Those are great sponsors that just want a shot at your business. So give them a try, and when you do, tell them you learned about them on Speak Out.
There you go. We're talking off the air a little bit more about the audit in Maricopa County, and we have Dave Hodges, host of the Common Sense Show, is keeping a really close eye on the activities there. And what's this about passcodes and the machines and Dominion? You have an update on that?
Well, yeah, it's part of the requested materials from the county supervisors they're supposed to have. But there's no evidence the county supervisors really had the codes. And I say that because the election officials on the night of the election have told me, some of them have told me, I haven't talked to all of them, but some of them told me, no, we never had the codes, and we thought that was odd. And they are the opinion, their opinion, not mine, that Dominion never surrendered the codes because Dominion and two of the three precincts I talked to had their own office. And it's presumed that they maintained control of the codes since they didn't have them. And they didn't question at the time because they thought, well, this is the way the supervisor set it up. It's my contention from what I found out from another inside source that the county supervisors were also bypassed. They never had the codes. And they made up this cock and bull story that Penzone was given the codes. He'd have no reason to have the codes. He's not an election official. Right. He'd have no reason or legal right to them. So their story on the face in their press conference they held is one big fat lie. They're covering up the truth.
Dave, what?
Hang on,
and,
Jim.
And there's all kinds of motivations, and we don't have time to get into them here. But I want to have your listeners understand this: as long as we use voting machines and not paper ballots, as long as we have the system we have in place in Arizona in virtually every county, we're going to continue to have corrupt elections, and this is true all across the country. And you can't trust the results.
Dave, what function do the codes you refer to serve?
It allows them to audit the machines as they continue the process through the night to make sure they're not malfunctioning, to make sure that procedure is being followed. That's the big thing, is procedure being followed with the storing and tracking of the ballots. Because we all know, we've seen the videos and congressional testimony where it's been shown how voting machines can be altered to change a certain percentage of the vote. And election codes allow periodic checks to keep that from happening. And the election codes are not surrendered by Maricopa County. Here's the deal, guys. If you're in charge of a county and you're the supervisors, and people are saying in the state senate, we have some concerns about the election, and we're not accusing you of anything. We just want to look at the evidence to make sure the voters can be assured everything's on the up and up. Why would you block that information? And as Sheriff Richard Mack said on my show, the county supervisors, if they're not guilty, they sure as hell are acting like it.
Right. And didn't they say at the beginning all along that they didn't have access to the codes, and then they made up the Penzones?
There's
been so many versions that it's like a kid saying he tells a lie, and then he tells the truth, and you don't know whether they're telling the lie or the truth.
No, they are lying through their teeth. Listen, there's another trump card they have. And even if Karen Fann hadn't predetermined the outcome that we're not going to reverse or decertify the election no matter what we find, there's another trump card. Supervisor Bill Gates, who I used to know very well personally, had a personal relationship with him, and he was genuinely a good man. I mean, I love the guy. His wife, who I've also met, Pamela Gates, is a Democratic judge, Democratic Party. Now, Bill's officially a Republican, but I think he's more a rhino than a Republican. But anyway, Pamela Gates came along, and she removed the Republican judge that was in charge of the audit, and she installed a Democratic judge who's extremely left-wing. So even if the state Senate says, hey, big problem, the audit team has shown that this election's totally fraudulent, we're moving to decertify, they already have the check in place to block anything from happening with this Democratic judge. And this is public record. This isn't what someone told me. This has been published in the newspaper. And to me, and I hate to say this about Bill Gates and his wife, the judge, these are clear ethical violations of their legal license, because there's collusion between husband and wife to benefit the supervisors by withholding information, and they're not going to be made to suffer the consequences. And this Democratic judge, the wife of Bill Gates, has actually set up a mechanism that's going to prevent any ramifications against the supervisors.
Wow.
That's my personal opinion. And I think it's an ethics violation. And I'm surprised that someone like Wendy Rogers or Sonny Brelli has not filed an ethics complaint with the Bar Association on this.
Just seems like the longer it goes, the less of an impact it's going to have. What about the, have you heard anything from the other states, Dave?
Yes, I talked to people in Fulton County in Atlanta. I talked to people in Wisconsin where they're now getting ready to audit two of their counties. They're running into the same obstacles. No one wants to allow the evidence to be examined. If you're a public official and you're entrusted with public trust, you have an obligation to show the public when there are questions that everything's on the up and up. Instead of saying, nothing to see here, it's the fairest election ever, well, that's not an answer, and that's not how public officials should be behaving. This election process is compromised, totally compromised. And if you just look at where people are getting their money from, the business associations they have, and I'm talking everyone from the Secretary of State and Katie Hobbs to Paul Penzone, they both got huge campaign contributions from George Soros. He's not a pro-American. I have a real problem with that, and I think the public needs to know this. And this is public record, by the way.
Right.
And then you've got China. Here's the bottom line. In the very beginning, we all agree on this. The election laws changed because of the fact that we had a pandemic. So dates were extended, ballot procedures were loosened, ballot harvesting took place in many Democratic blue states, like in Pennsylvania, for example. And had it not been for the Wuhan flu, as I like to call it, we wouldn't have seen the massive changes in the balloting. And it's not just the machines I have a concern with. I think the balloting had as much or more to do with some of these fraudulent results than anything else. China had an interest, in my opinion, of getting Donald Trump out of office because he reversed the trade imbalance that we had. He went from $800 billion a month to $800 billion a month for us. He brought jobs back to America, much to the chagrin of the Chinese and the Pacific Rim nations. He was an enemy of China. Tough talk on the South China Sea and freedom of the seas. They wanted Trump out. And a lot of people feel, and I'm saying this is speculation, because until we actually get someone to tell us, but I think that China had every motivation to do what they did with the Wuhan flu. I think it was aptly applied to creating voter fraud situations that did not exist in previous elections. And I think this is the result we got. I mean, anyone who lives in Arizona, particularly in Maricopa County, we saw the turnout for Biden. They had a rally for Biden May before the election or June?
Yeah,
and
May
Channel 10, Fox News covered it here, and no one showed up. I mean, not one person. And they said this on the air. Yet Trump would have a rally, 5, 10, 20, 25,000 people. There's no way Joe Biden won in Arizona. Absolutely no way. Just on the face validity of it all, Joe Biden was a loser.
Right.
Now, I know people in California that have access to the numbers, and they're not coming out being public yet, but they will if they don't like what the Arizona audit says. And what they tell me is that Trump won by 1.1 million votes in Arizona.
Wow.
This was flipped. And this will become public. I'm telling you right now, they're working in California right now on their election, and these people will go public if they don't like the direction of the audit. And Karen Fan needs to understand this.
Right. Dave, we're up against a break. I got to bring on another guest. Tell people where they can get more information on this.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Now, I want you to give out your website.
TheCommonSenseShow.com. We also have a TV show at TheCommonSenseShow.tv. And so we welcome you following us, folks, because we're on this topic hard.
Well, we really appreciate you being here on Speak Out on this Monday, and we'll talk to you down the road, hopefully when those results come out, whenever that is.
All right, Paul. Sounds good. Look forward to coming back.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Again, our guest, Dave Hodges from The Common Sense Show, and we're still waiting for John Pat to arrive at the studio from Desert Diamond Distillery. I'm Paul Lavoie. Brother Jim Russell and myself will be back with more in a moment. Jim and I always have something to talk about. Never fear when it comes to topics with Brother Jim Russell. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
So what you want?
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. And we have very special guests coming up with John Pat. He's with Desert Diamond Distillery. But first, Speak Up brought to you in part by Connected Computer and Technology, also Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, Herb's Herbs, SunPower by Esme Electric, and Bobby Lewis at the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty with Julie Lewis, Brian Vesley, and Lori Rule.
And they're good folks all. Just give them a shot at your business. That's all they want.
Well, let's move to a topic that everybody loves.
Yes.
Bourbon, rum, and a little brandy, right? Mm,
yeah.
And John Pat's here. Good to see you again.
Very good, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting him.
You're absolutely welcome. And he's from Desert Diamond Distillery in Kingman. We have our own distillery there.
Incredible.
You guys have won. Tell Jim, you've won several awards. I know all about the distillery.
Yeah, as a general rule, I don't talk about awards because I'm the distiller. But, we've held our own.
So
this year was particularly important, not so much for me personally. But, you know, a lot of people placed a lot of faith in me all these years, and it's been 12 years now. And we had a 10-year rum come out this year, and we entered in London, which is the oldest, the largest. And apparently they decided we were the number 9 rum in the world. So
wow.
From Kingman.
From right here.
Yes.
From Kingman.
Yes.
that's certainly a distinction we wouldn't normally think would be coming from a from Arizona.
From Mojave County.
Yeah, how does this all work? I mean, where does this come from? How do you make that stuff?
Where did the idea start?
Yeah, good idea.
Oh, boy. The idea, we always say we hit our head, haven't woke up yet. Been doing it for 12 years, haven't learned a thing. We still do it.
Is that the definition of insanity?
On a daily basis.
All right.
Passion and insanity, they go back and forth.
Right.
That being said, it was all about passion, and instead of, you know, probably just moving on into something more logical, we decided to open a distillery. Mm-hmm. One of the main reasons we did choose Kingman was the climate. We took a shot, you know, this thing doesn't come with a manual. We kind of write the book as we go. When we started, there was like 100 craft distillers.
How does the climate play a role, though?
Yeah.
I know it does with wine. I didn't know it did
if you ever do the bourbon trail, you're going to hear that quite a bit.
No kidding.
A lot of good whiskeys come out of the Tennessee, Kentucky area. Mm-hmm. They have a hot summer. They have a cool winter. It's very important in that the heat is expanding the alcohol into the wood and the cold is contracting it back out again.
Wow.
Believe it or not,
I guess they knew.
You know, we didn't know for sure, but if we got one lucky break in 12 years, that worked out.
Okay.
I'll be darned.
We have a hot summer in Kingman, and we have a cool winter. And believe it or not, that's worked out really, really well.
So the rum, actually, they have a pretty good gift assortment up there.
Yes.
If you go to that store. And there's one of the last gifts my father ever got from me. He was the type that after dinner he would sample different liqueurs and after dinner drinks and that.
Yeah,
and
we actually came out with an extra gift pack during the COVID thing with our reserves. And that allows you to taste the reserves at home now, too.
Okay.
So we have two little 50-mil gift packs. Hmm. And then, of course, we have a variety of different gift packs, and we do the little barrels where you can own your own barrel. If you don't drink spirits at all, we have vanilla extracts, we got olive oils and vinegars, we got sauces, mixers, we have all kinds of things.
I've always wondered why oak. Why are barrels made of oak? Why is that the best wood?
Well, I can't tell you for sure. I'm not an expert at that, but a lot of woods don't work really well, and there's a lot of toxins that might come out. Oak has always proved itself, French and American oak.
So it's more of a neutral wood that doesn't make the product
sweet? It's going to make a whole lot of different characteristics.
Oh,
that's what it's good for, yeah.
Oh,
interesting.
It's a hardwood, so it doesn't... It doesn't extract or deteriorate as fast as a softwood extracts a lot of things that are not going to be good for you.
Sure, or it'll absorb, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
So how do you market this? Is it sold nationally? Is it?
Oh, no.
How is it?
We're a tiny brand. Bacardi spills more in a day than I make in a year.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
That's a great line.
Literally, we do about 1,000 cases a year. you know, think more Van Winkle than Bacardi. It's we're just tiny. I mean, we're tiny compared to Van Winkle. So
you're a micro distillery.
Yes.
Not a micro brewery, obviously.
Right.
Tell me what is now. I've been to a barrel cracking, but tell the people out there that don't know, or maybe Jim's never been to one.
I've never been to one.
What is a barrel cracking?
Yeah, we've done these for a long time, and we're back at doing them. We had a chef who came out of retirement who likes to come play with us once a month. And we're actually just starting to go back around the world. We're going to do every month we're going to do a different country's food. Next month, September, well, I guess it's coming up right in our
pretty
back.
Close.
Yeah. We're doing French. I believe October's German, Italian. I don't know what comes after that. But at any rate, it's on the we restored a 103-year-old Pullman rail car in 1918. We do it on a Friday and Saturday. I think the one coming up, don't hold me to this because I'm terrible with dates, like September 11, 12.
11th is Saturday, yeah.
Okay, so 10, 11.
Okay.
Because it's Friday and Saturday, that much I know.
Mm-hmm.
20 people each night, and it's a four-course meal. You can call the distillery with details. It is an RSVP. And basically, the barrel cracking comes at the end of the night. After the full-course meal, entertainment, you get a couple of cocktails. We take you out to the barrel room and we taste a new barrel. And that's what we do, anywhere from a 3 to a 10 year now.
Well, when I did it, you had the dinner in the barrel room and that there
yes.
was a large space.
We've kind of
it
moved
was more
it.
Like 50, but now it's like 20.
Yeah,
we've
made
cozy.
It a little bit cozier, and the ambiance in the train is in the Pullman rail car is phenomenal.
And he's not kidding. He really does tap the barrel.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're getting the first shots out of that barrel.
Wow.
And they're sipping shots, right?
Yep, exactly.
It's not the kind you down with a chaser either.
Where does this take place? Where is it located?
At the distillery. The actual address is 4875 Olympic Drive. It's in the Airport Industrial Park.
Okay.
When you drive up, you're going to wonder why you're there.
So right. did your rail car, there's railway tracks in the airport area, so did your rail car come in? Is it still on a rail track?
Well, I put it on a rail track, but it's not. It's isolated.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's fully isolated. And we actually picked up two more cabooses recently.
Oh.
So those are in there.
So we're looking at expansion of the
process? We do a very slow, methodical expansion. That's what we that's what we like to think, anyways.
Now, I met John. He's very community-minded as well. I'm talking about you in the third person now, if you don't mind.
That's fine.
But we got him to participate in the Margarita Fest from the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Colorado River. Although you didn't have a margarita, you still people were just surprised that there was a distillery in the area.
We actually do a rum margarita.
You do?
It's one of our most popular drinks.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me, how do you make a rum margarita?
Well, the most popular rum I make is the agave rum. That's what most people call my signature rum. We make a lot of it.
Comes from agave cactus?
No, we actually use a dark rum base. And we use the agave nectar and a few other natural ingredients on top. Honestly, I didn't want to make a spiced rum. I mean, the Caribbean does a great job of it. I make rum in Kingman. So we wanted to create something that really said Southwest. And apparently we did a good job.
Well, that just brings up an interesting an interesting question about the process, though. You just try a few things, then you have to wait a couple of years before you get the results?
Or
you tasted somebody else's and
no, I don't really copy anybody.
I'm not saying copy.
That was
for inspiration.
You're always looking for inspiration from other, you know, and I've done a lot of things in my life, and my wife and I, we've always crossed over from other industries and tried to apply them to different industries.
Sure.
So in this respect, we've tried to apply things. I basically do a whiskey aging on the rum. I've been called the rum man with a whiskey wrapper.
So is that that's not normal in the rum process?
No, I would tell you right now that I was probably the only distiller in the country to age rum in new barrels up until the last few years.
Wow.
Tell me about the process with the – I always heard about cane sugar when we talked and how it plays a role in the distilling process. So what's the difference between cane sugar, say, grown in Hawaii than Jamaica or here in the States?
Well, it's going to be a lot like grapes, different parts of the world, different characteristics. So it is a very important part of what we do, and I actually bring mine in from Louisiana. It's the only thing I can't do. Oh. I mean, we can grow cane, but we can't, you know, grow enough of it. You think the water company would be unhappy?
What's interesting, though, that the climate in Louisiana produces the cane sugar that's desirable for you.
There's other areas, but that's it. I tried it. You got to be willing to work with me, too. I'm a tiny little player.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
You know,
I don't
buy train loads.
Right. I get it.
It's a two-edged sword. I have to like it. They got to want to work with me.
So you have the rum, the whiskey, and the brandy. Yeah, when did the brandy come about?
Well, the brandy's been there for a while. It's probably about 8 years old. We don't have any need for it now, so we're just going to keep aging it. Probably going to come up about 10 years, which is two more years.
So how much do you set aside for this future business when you
we call those my play toys.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
This is a family business, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Tell us who in the family is involved here.
Well, my folks have pretty much retired. Okay. They come around and play whenever they feel like it. My wife and I do, well, my wife probably does way more than I do.
Your dad was a big part of the process in the beginning, though, wasn't he?
I
remember meeting your father up there.
He was always heavily involved. Yeah, uh-huh. He didn't know when to retire.
Okay.
And when he just did, he decided to move around a lot.
But now when you call up there, there's actually an employee that answers the phone.
Yeah, we got a few lady employees. I'm a glutton for punishment. We don't have any other guys.
So. That's funny.
Yeah.
So tell us again about the next barrel cracking coming up, and is there an opening for people?
There's still openings on both days, I believe.
Okay.
Yes.
September 10th and 11th.
Yes.
Friday and Saturday.
It starts at 6:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have a price on the tickets? Or
they're $100 a person?
They're $100 now.
Yeah.
Wow, I knew back in the day.
A bargain.
A lot cheaper. I can't say how much now.
Well, we just did a barbecue last month, but this is a very different. This is, you know, we try to go retro. We try to give you a...
We did it with
a real experience in your
in
your cool railway car.
Yeah.
How can people get the product, get your product? Do they have to go to your...
Generally speaking, come to the distillery. Arizona, I can ship. It's available throughout Arizona as far as that goes.
Uh-huh.
$75 and over, I'll do free freight. So that's available to you too. It's an experience to come to the distillery. We're basically a destination.
Okay.
You can come there and enjoy yourself with your friends or your relatives or whatever. Have cocktails, do tours.
Mm-hmm.
Hear lousy stories, as you can tell, I have a lot of them.
It's a great place to find last-minute Christmas gifts, too, or birthday or anniversary. You've got the agave.
The agave rum's available in 35 states.
Is it?
But you can't order that from me. You have to order that from a liquor store in L.A., and that's on our website, so you can pick up that.
Any thoughts of expanding, getting a little bigger,
well,
maybe
that was
more locations?
We tried the remote location. And
what happened?
I got tired of my wife being away.
Oh, I see.
We were the first one in the state who did that, and that comes with growing pains.
Right.
And I found I could go to festivals around the state and bring the product to you. It was way more effective. So we started. That was actually very effective up until this last, you know, year
yeah,
and a half.
Sure. COVID took over.
So that wiped that angle out. It's just now starting to get legs again.
Give folks the number if they can call and find out where it's located, get directions and that sort of thing to the store in Kingman, the distillery. I don't know. Do you do tours yet?
Yeah, we still do tours. Okay. They kind of come and go. Like I'm not there right now.
So
I'm guessing there's no tours.
People are assembling, waiting for your return.
That was the go part. Come and go.
There you go.
And what's the number so people can call out there and get the directions?
928-757-7611.
At least he has it memorized by now. All right. Let's take a quick phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Thank you. Gentlemen, a number of years ago.
Hurry, we're coming up against a hard break.
A number of years ago, I was in Germany, and I stumbled upon a brewery run by monks. As the story goes, there was a massive fire. Much to their delight, one keg survived, and the beer tasted delicious. Subsequently, they named it smoke beer, Schlenkeler Rausch beer. Is there anything analogous to that with rum? Smoked rum?
Smoked rum.
Appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Go ahead, John.
Not sure I would know what to do with smoked rum. My rums do have some smoke to them. It comes off the still as part of the distillation process.
Right.
That's why a lot of people feel as though, I wouldn't say it's a scotch, you know, not that kind of smoke. But it gets some of those qualities. It has just enough, I think, just enough smoke.
Oh, very interesting. Good, so. All right, again, it's Desert Diamond Distillery, or D3, as you sometimes call it, on social media. You guys are all over Facebook, I imagine Instagram, Twitter.
My wife takes care of all of that.
All of that. Well, I know they're on
Facebook. Yeah, this is high tech for me.
Well, I know they're on Facebook. John, Pat, great for you to come in. Great to see you again. And
pleasure.
Best of luck. I'm going to have to take a road trip now
just
to get some Christmas presents.
I thank you all very much.
I'm one of those guys that gives really cool Christmas presents from little micro distilleries. Right?
Yeah, that's us.
A boutique distillery.
Big thank you for being here.
Thank you,
We're
going
to take it right up to the top of the hour with the break. Jim Russell, thanks for joining me this morning.
Pleasure as always.
All right. And John, thanks for making the drive down.
Anytime.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out. Thanks for joining us, folks.
Pistols, revolvers, rifles, and shotguns to a large selection of ammunition, the choice is samsguns.com. Sam has the longest indoor shooting range in western Arizona. Sam is always hunting for your gold, silver, coins, watches, and jewelry, and Sam pays top dollar to boot. Check out some of Sam's inventory anytime at samsguns.com, or better yet, stop by samsguns.com, downtown Lake Havasu City.
Stop sending tax dollars to Phoenix. Hi, I'm Mike Bonney with GDK CPA. Did you know you can make an Arizona State tax credit donation to local qualified charitable organizations, schools, military families, and private school tuition organizations? Yes, these institutions will benefit 100% of your tax credit donation, and you get the credit on your state tax return. In fact, we can make this happen on your current filing. Schedule your tax consultation today, GDK CPA, 928-680-1994.
John here from Connected Computer and Technology. Have you ever wanted to have a ton of support for an easy cost? We have that in our club for your home and business. Low cost for you and great monitoring from us at Connected Computer and Technology. We keep your costs under control as we monitor your systems for issues. We catch those problems before they have a chance to become trouble. Call us for more information at Connected Computer and Technology, 928-680-0041.
Connected Computer and Technology, smarter than the average geek.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.